sacred geometry. I mean, we've heard that, and we've heard it thrown around. Some of you may be familiar with Nautilus shells, how it goes in spiral. But what is it? You know, where did it come from? What is the significance of it? Our next guest, Karen French, her website is Karen L. French. Don't forget the L, or you're going to be a in wedding photography or something. KarenLFrench.com is the website. Her book, Gateway to the Heavens, and she's also written The Hidden Geometry of Life, two books, so she's written extensively on the subject. It's a beautiful book. It's color, it has lots of illustrations, and really makes this complicated subject, as people think. It really brings it down right to life. So we're very excited to have her on. Karen, welcome to the Power Hour.
Thank you very much, Daniel. I'm really looking forward to have a chat with you. And hello to everybody out there who's listening tonight.
Well, I love your accent.
It's afternoon to you, isn't it?
Yes, yes. It's barely morning. It's still morning in most of America. I'm already fascinated. I'm enthralled by your accent. How's everything over there in across the pond?
Well, it's a beautiful autumn evening here. I'm looking out the windows, looking at all the autumn leaves start to fall, so it's a gorgeous day.
Oh, well, very good. Sacred geometry, you know, that we hear that name thrown around. We hear it quite often, I guess, if we even look into any of this kind of stuff. What is sacred geometry?
Okay, well, there's two schools of thought on it. The first is that sacred geometry originated from the dawn of our imaginations, when our ancestors first started to recognize all the these shapes around them and how they were organizing and orchestrating their life. And because they regarded this as coming from a greater intelligence, to them it was sacred. So you could say that all geometry is actually sacred because it all comes from source. On a more sort of contemporary basis, sacred geometry is to do with the intent between as to how you use geometry. So if you're using it deliberately with a sacred purpose in mind, then it's sacred geometry, versus mundane geometry where you're just using it to build a chair or a house or something like that, something that doesn't have any sacred purpose in.
Just even listening to you, you talked about, I don't know what school of thought that you come down on, but you're talking about creation, and even if it's a chair, that's part of creation. So this geometry is really the building of society. I mean, it seems like everything would be sacred then, or divine, or come from source, or whatever you say. I mean, to me, just listening to you, I don't know your thought.
Yes, that's very, very true, that everything does come from source. And unfortunately, people have lost that connection. So if you're building and constructing everything and you're angry inside, or you're in a factory worker or whatever, then it's not having any influence on whatever it is you're doing. And there's a very good book called My Custard Pie, I think it is, Tastes Funny, and it's about this girl who can taste the emotions behind whatever she eats. So it doesn't matter what you do. If you're doing it with joy and reverence, then it is sacred. People have, as you say, have lost touch with that context where you're connecting with source with whatever you do and whatever you create.
I'm not sure where to go, what to ask you next. You can probably help guide me. I mean, I'm all over the place, even skimming your book and seeing it. I mean, you give me a million different thoughts. Let me go down to where I think of sacred geometry. For me personally,
okay.
You know, we've heard of the 3-6-9 ratio. We've heard of the work of Nikola Tesla. We've seen the Nautilus, how the shell of the Nautilus, as it grows in a certain ratio. We've seen duodecahedron, even on the playground, these shapes. That's my kind of connection to sacred geometry beyond just, you know, chairs and what I see.
Yeah.
What am I looking at in all those things? 3-6-9, Nikola Tesla, duodecahedrons, what is significant about any of these?
Right, okay. The key thing with geometry is it's the one and true only universal language across the globe. It's the only one that's consistent. So all of those shapes you mentioned, any shape, it is, because it's based on mathematics, it does the same thing wherever you go. So going back to that ancestral source, they started noticing things like circles and circles within circles and crosses and squares. And as we've progressed over time, more and more shapes our imaginations have allowed us to perceive and recognize. So geometry has a language associated with it. It firstly provides constructs, is the best way of describing it, for abstract ideas, because the universe is based on mathematics. So the idea of space, as space is an abstract idea, is constructed using the square. So geometry gives form to the formless. It allows these ideas to have a shape. And every single geometric shape, all the ones you've mentioned, and any shape or pattern you can think of, each of those has a unique purpose in providing a construct for some kind of abstract idea. It allows those ideas to reveal themselves and to be used. And our imaginations are so incredible. Not only can we perceive that geometry, but we also perceive the purpose behind the geometric shape. And then we use them as a symbolic system to represent those ideas, and then also in turn as tools and vehicles for constructing things like temples or mandalas or anything else, clothing or whatever ones you might think of, to utilize the power behind those shapes. So the shapes organize energy, if you like. They organize consciousness, and they allow it to do certain things. So if I take, for example, the circle, which is the primary shape, which all other geometric shapes fit into, it acts as a vessel and a container, and it also allows the idea of time to work. So time revolves around the middle, which is the moment, and the biggest circle of all is eternity. And you can't perceive that moving because it's so vast. And the moment also is imperceptible and instantaneous. And then you have other circles revolving around that, like the minute or the hour or an eon. And they allow the passage of time to exist. And then the circle and time facilitates things like community, cycles, connection, events within time to happen. So, would you like to ask any other questions, or would you like me to carry on talking about
it? Well, let me back up with something you said before we get too far. I mean, this gets pretty deep over my head pretty quick, but I'm fascinated by it. You talked about consciousness, our connection to consciousness, our connection to creation. Mm-hmm. I mean, listening to you, what you're telling me is that the theory of evolution, this idea that we spontaneously came from nothing, and that creation preceded consciousness, not consciousness preceding creation. To me, the theory of macroevolution then becomes really null and void, because what I'm getting out of what you just said is that some sort of consciousness creates creation. I don't know how to say it. Consciousness precedes creation, not the other way around.
Well, the things are physical bodies. They are limited in terms of their perceptions. We're limited by our senses. Though we do have a connection in terms of our intuition as well and our imagination. And it's a bit like, does the chicken precede the egg or the egg precede the chicken? Because I have been asked before. So you have the circle and when do you have the point, then everything starts. And it's a bit like the fertilized egg. You have a circle and you have a nucleus. Which comes first? Because as soon as you have the point, everything is instantaneous. It's not a linear sequence of events. It just is what it is. But if you take the point away, then everything is pointless. There's nothing. It becomes... goes to just a void with nothing happening, you know, just the potential to become something. There isn't anything actually happening. You need an individual point for anything to be initiated. But it is the chicken and the egg situation.
All right, let me ask it this way. Is creation that we see, you know, we've had people on to talk about, you know, quantum mathematics, quantum science, and how they describe our consciousness is not just merely a observer of creation. It's a participant in the creation of everything.
Absolutely.
We see.
Yeah, we are co-creators of the reality, yes.
Okay, explain that.
So geometry fundamentally is a construct behind space and time and existence. The middle of the square is here, the middle of the circle is now, the middle of the triangle is I am. So those three basic shapes, the square, circle, and the triangle, allow space, time, and being to exist. And they allow the idea of I am here now to exist. not only for that to be, but for us to perceive it and to exist within it. So those constructs are used by nature in her fecundity, so to create the nautilus shells, trees, flowers, earth, soil, the universe, etc. None of it would exist without geometry. And in turn, we are created by nature. We are a product of nature. We have an animal bodies with this. And then we use the elements, fire, earth, wind, etc., and our minds and our creativity to, in turn, create our own creations. So we're using the elements, we're using geometry, we're using sound as well, and it's an alchemical process, it's a magical process, because we're stirring and mixing up those ingredients to create something more. And this is where the sacred aspect of it is, because it's a process of reverence. It's a very, very unique capacity and capability that we have to be able to do this, to be able to not only create something, but to also recognize the connection to source and when we're doing that. So you have that literal physical connection, physical creative process, but also you have the mind process, the fact that our perception of reality, what we perceive, the observation of it, and the intent behind our observations is also allowing us to perceive what's reflected back to us by light. So light bounces off things and we perceive it, and also through sound. So there's many facets to this co-creation. There's the perception bit of it, which you've said, and there's an actual faculty we have to actually make things ourselves. And interestingly, the eye in sacred geometry represents the observational part of it, because if you look at an eyeball, it's a circle with a point in the middle, and it's surrounded by this almond shape, which is known as the vesica piscis. And the vesica piscis is made by two circles overlapping each other's center, and it's a very, very sacred shape around the globe. And as the vesica piscis opens, geometry is created, because you can draw a line between the two centers, and then you can do a square and a triangle. And this is why the compass opening and the vesica piscis is seen in a lot of sacred paintings and things. So the opening of the eye represents the opening of consciousness. So as you open your physical eyes, it allows you to perceive the world around you and yourself within it. And if the eye is closed, then your mind is closed. So you're not perceiving anything. And there's that school of thought. If your eyes are closed, is there anything out there? Because you're not seeing it, not observing it. And so there's our own physical eyes, but also the all-seeing eye, which is the eye of the original source, the greater intelligence. And when it opens and the vesica piscis opens and geometry is formed, then reality is formed. So you have this this representation and geometry of things that we are fundamentally being and doing, and also as creators ourselves. Shall I carry on, or would you like to?
No, to be honest with you, I'm just soaking everything you're saying in. I'm trying to process it and make sense of it. It's hard for me to even summarize this. So if I'm summarizing this, it's like a computer program. So if I have a computer, mm-hmm. and there's an operating system, so the universe mm-hmm. that we live in, that we call quote unquote reality or whatever, it is mm-hmm. within an operating system. Somebody, some consciousness, something has put an operating, a square system. There has been a system created here. Within that system, yep. there are shapes. It is dictated by the interaction between consciousness and these shapes, and these shapes start to then bounce back and dictate. It's like a relationship back and forth, where shapes and consciousness then fill the space of this operating system. Is that correct so far?
That's pretty good, because I actually use that analogy a bit, because when you're looking at zeros and ones, so you have the zero, which is the circle, And the circle deliberately represents the idea of zero because it holds space. And when it's before of one, it represents potential to become something, nothing. And when it's after of it, one, it's full because now it represents 10, a million, a gazillion, depending on how many zeros. So you have 2, which is a 1 plus a 1, 3, which is a triangle, 1, 1, 1, 4, a square, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1. So you have adding and timesing, and those symbols are also quite significant. But basically, it's essentially ones and zeros, like a code. And this code provides constructs. So when you have a 1 and a 1 linked to each other, like in 2, you're actually creating tension between those points. But it's still a 1 and a 1. And they code a reality, and they allow us to inhabit that reality, to perceive it, because we've also constructed out of geometry and coded in the same way.
This is
a very good analogy.
This is very deep. Then let me ask you this, and you probably said it in what you just went through, but let me clarify. So our consciousness, mankind has the ability, our essence, our whatever you want to call that, it has the ability to interact with these constructs, to interact with these shapes. Would you say that?
Yes. Yes. Well, because we're part of it. Yeah, we're made out of it ourselves.
Okay.
But what we do have that unique position, and it's our imagination which is key to this whole thing. Because with our imaginations, we can perceive this world that is beyond, we're not just collecting food and eating it and everything. We're actually looking at our world, and we're looking beyond the veil. And there are some interesting paintings where people's heads are stuck beyond the veil. And I'm trying to think of I can't think of who. Well, somebody called it the plate, this veil that sort of is the shadow that our imaginations allow us to look into. And then we form these images within our minds of, through our imaginations, what these look like. And we create these inner worlds of, posing questions like why, when, who, what. And then we have created, and interesting enough, originating from rock face sketches of abstract ideas, square circles and triangles, symbolic systems with which we share our inner worlds with other people, to discuss them, to compare, and to allow us to create mathematical notations and things. And it's that faculty of our imagination is what really lifts us into that world of perceiving reality, understanding reality, and our place within it.
All right, we got about 3 or 4 minutes before the break, and we'll get obviously more into this on the other side, but... There was an old, there's a question that was, I don't know, in college or whatever, was asked. If there was a tree in a forest and it fell and no one was there to hear it, would it make a sound? Quantum mathematicians say, no, it would not make a sound if no one is there to perceive the sound. What would you say to that?
Well, that's very, very much the same analogy as of the opening and the closing of the eye. If your mind is closed, if your eyes are closed and your mind is closed, does reality exist out of you? Are you in something?
All right,
because you're not perceiving it, you know. So you need an observer to see the observed.
Okay.
And it's, yeah.
All right, let me cut you off again because we've got 2-3 minutes.
Okay.
But I have a profound thought. I've been able to grasp a profound thought here out of everything you said. So if what you're saying, okay, I'm going with what you're saying. See, we often talk about, even law, in the Declaration of Independence in America, that may be a sore subject for somebody from Britain, but the Declaration of Independence in America says that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that we're endowed by our creator with certain unalienable rights. The beginning of creation, the rights that come to mankind has dominion. If you want to talk about the Bible, dominion is with mankind. The consciousness, the imagination of mankind. From what you just told me, and I want your comment, if you talk about a circle and there's a point in the circle, the point in the circle for the universe is the consciousness that is in man. That starting point for it. Go ahead.
Well, this is a tricky one because personally, my view is the eye is significant. Any creature with an eye perceives reality in some way or form or another. They can perceive themselves relative to other things. It's the nature of consciousness versus sentience. So, you know, sentience is the ability to perceive yourself or whatever. So, and everything's made out of consciousness. So I regard it as scope of sentience. How much can you perceive? So there's probably are beings that are of a different vibration to us that can perceive more than us. But I think the key to what you're saying is the fact that man is sentient. And there are other beings that are sentient. And that we're all co-creating reality in incredibly complex.
So is there a collective consciousness that we all are connected in this computer mainframe, whatever, like this is
a
video game or something?
Yes, I think we are. Yeah, I think it's a bit like the, you know, there's the film The Matrix, that we're all plugged into it and we're all perceiving, because each of us is perceiving everything from our own unique point of view. We've triangulated. This is where triangles are very significant when it comes to being and eyes. You have three eyes, the logical eye, the lunar eye, the solar eye, and the third eye, which creates a triangle, and that's your window onto reality. And so we're all plugged in, perceiving everything from unique points of view.
So whoa, Karen, say that one more time, those three things. Say those three things again.
With the three eyes?
Yes, say that.
The lunar eye, the solar eye, so logical eye, the emotional eye, and then you have the third eye, which weighs and balances their input to the third eye, and creating a triangle. And that's your window into reality. So the more you perceive things from different points of view, perspectives, the bigger your window becomes. You expand your awareness.
Wow. All right, stay tuned. There's the music.
Okay.
Stay tuned. Here we've got about 2 or 3 minute break, and then more with Karen French. My gosh, I gotta go. I don't know. I don't know what I gotta do. Fast and pray for a second. I don't know. We'll be right back. ThePowerHour.com. KarenLFrench.com is the website.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Kirkman by calling 877-817-9829 or order at theparamall.com. That's theparamall.com.
Oxygen. It's nature's oldest therapy and plays an essential role in destroying viruses, bacteria, mold, yeast, and fungus, and keeping the human body healthy and strong. Now, you can give your body and your immune system a mega boost of disease-fighting oxygen with all-natural Oxy-C. With so many people now leading a sedentary indoor lifestyle, most are in a chronic state of oxygen deprivation, which sets up a perfect environment for disease, general fatigue, and a host of other symptoms. Oxy-C is yours in simple, convenient capsules. Nothing to mix, nothing to hassle with. Take it with juice or water anytime. Feel a cold or flu approaching? Have no energy or spark anymore? Try all natural Oxy-C and prepare to be amazed. Oxy-C is only available from New Earth Health Solutions at Rents.com. Look for the New Earth banner at Rents.com.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiatics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
If you've been listening to this program for any length of time, you'll know that Fukushima, the greatest calamity in history, has now, as I've been warning since 3/11, killed off virtually the whole North Pacific Ocean and especially up and down the entire West Coast. The radiation is migrating inland and is moving across the entire country. There's only one proven defender to radiation exposure, the brilliant Chernobyl-proven discovery of Dr. Michael Kiriak, which combines the four most potent and powerful algae on the planet, imported to the U.S. and known as Bio's Superfood. I've taken Bio's Superfood every day for several years now and want you to do the same for your sake and the health and safety of your family and loved ones. Take the banner at the top of Rents.com and prepare to learn how to save your life.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
With dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Numana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy. And Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made just for you. Food storage I love to eat. Yum!
Welcome back to the Power Hour. We got Karen French is holding. I want to tell you a little bit about the Power Mall. Okay, one thing we started to do last month, and it you all really liked it. I probably liked it even more. It was awesome to be able to talk to you. A couple times a month, and I'm going to give a notice so that the shortwave listeners, people who listen on delay, so they'll be able to take advantage of this too. If you call the Power Mall, 877-817-9829, I'm going to be taking orders, or even if you just want to talk to me, you don't have to order anything. If you just want to say hello, I would love to hear from you. It's very fun. Everybody I've been able to talk to. So once a month, I'm going to do this. So we're going to do this 2 days in a row. So today, give me about 30 minutes after the show, and then I'll be on the phone for a couple hours. We'll see how it goes. And tomorrow. So if you're listening to shortwave, that means Wednesday. So on shortwave or other delayed broadcasts, see, now you think sacred geometry is complicated, Karen. You got to explain broadcasting. So tomorrow, which will seem like today. So shortwave, which is Wednesday, on Wednesday, October 16th, the 15th. Yeah, today's the 15th. On the 16th of October, I will be on the phone, and today, the 15th, a little after the show. And our show is live 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central in the United States. So I'll be on the phone. I would love to talk to you. It'll be great to hear you. Of course, things that we have on for sale, the Strauss Heart Drops, Cold Storm, Smooth Oregano, the Oregano products, Oregano Max, Oregano Spray, North American Urban Spice, Purely Seed, Bone Active, the Black Seed. And the Oregadan is really working, and the Miracle too. So all these things and so much more. We appreciate your support. We need your support. And so any donations or any thoughts or prayers that you can have for us, we're looking to expand. We want to, modestly and slowly to build our reach and the people that we interact with. And so we all always need your help. This is it's our joint effort. You know, Karen's talking about our consciousness, our collective consciousness. Well, the Power Hour Nation, our collective consciousness needs to move forward to make this happen. So we appreciate, everything that you do for us. And, we also say thank you because we hear a lot of, we also say you're welcome because we hear a lot of thank yous from you all and all the things that you've gained from this broadcast. So we appreciate it very much. 877-817-9829. 877-817-9829. I'll be one of the people on the phone. And we'll do this once a month or so. And it was great to talk to you. So give a call. If you want to order, I'll take your order. If you want to just say hi, love to hear from you. So thepowermall.com. Getting back to our great guest across the pond. who is really blowing my mind, to be honest with you. Karen L. French. Karen L. French. You got to put the L in there. KarenLFrench.com is our website. Gateway to Heavens is the book that I'm looking at, which is beautiful. And The Hidden Geometry of Life is our other book. You can check those out wherever books are sold on our website. In your book, you spend a lot of time, for what I can tell. I mean, I haven't read the whole book, but you certainly spend a lot of time on ancient symbols, or just symbols in our society that may have, you know, ancient origin or been around for a long time. One of them, the swastika, you know, not only was the swastika used in Nazi Germany, but it was also used in Russia. These are symbols that have been around for a long time. I mean, explain that. I immediately saw that. I'm like, oh, my gosh, what is this woman, a Nazi, when I flipped open the book? But tell us about swastikas.
Oh, gosh. They feature in all cultures. The Hopi Indians use them quite a bit as well. Basically, it's a revolving cross within a circle. So if you imagine it's like a wheel linked into the wheel symbol and also the sun symbol. Quite often the arm will actually be a spiral, so it's like a cross with four spirals on the end of it, and it represents the idea that if you had a circle and you put a cross within it, an equal-armed cross, you could put that anywhere in the circle. There's an infinite number of them, so when you put the arms on it, it's a revolving one that fills the whole of the circle, the space, and it moves around. So an infinite number of spokes. So this.
Why did? Let me ask you this: why would Nazi? I know the symbol was. You know, I even have a. Jordan Maxwell sent me a Russian currency. I think of 1917. I think. Mm-hmm. But it had a swastika on it also. So you know, Russia was using swastikas. Nazi Germany was using. Why?
The Buddhists have them on their palms and their feet. The Buddha often has a swastika on the palms. It's linked into the life force and sending out. So the cross represents choices that we make in life, good and bad, where we go, the directions, north, south, east and west, and unwinding into space. And there's lots of debate in sacred geometry circles about whether one is good and one is bad, depending on whether it goes turn revolves to the left or turns to the right.
What's your feeling? Because some let me tell the audience. So imagine a cross, ladies and gentlemen, and if say you're looking straight north or straight up at the page and you see the cross and then there's a line going straight to the right, perpendicular. Now, you know, sometimes they go left and they go all the way around. I don't even know which one Nazi Germany did, but what's your feeling on which way they go?
Nazi
what does that
Germany
mean?
Germany did the reverse. They reversed the swastika. Now, the key thing about any geometric shape, because it's like you have black magic and you have white magic. It all depends on the intent. So if you take a geometric shape and you use it with negative intent, then you're going to use the opposite principles of it. It's the same as taking a stick. So a shape is neutral until you use it. A stick is neutral until you use it. You can use a stick to hit somebody or you can use a stick to stir a pot. It depends on what you do with it. So the inherent potential, if you like, of a cross within a circle is to unite the directions within time and space and to unwind that into time and space, and it's to activate the life force and to send out whatever's going on in your center into all of the directions, north, south, east, west. So if you're sending out good stuff from the middle of the center and sending out to north, south, east, west, and your intent is positive, then the effect of that will dissipate to the outer circles accordingly. So if the center, like a rotten apple, is rotten, then that is what gets sent out. And you can use geometric shapes for good and for bad. And I sometimes get people coming up to me and start talks and saying, you shouldn't be teaching this to people, it's hidden knowledge, it's very powerful, etc., etc. And I say, it's not the knowledge that's relevant, it's what you do with the knowledge.
Like, well, let me stop you.
Good or even bad, yeah.
Let me stop you right there. So, I've seen people with, you know, even necklaces, which looks like the swastika, not the Nazi reverse, but the, you know, kind of the one you're showing in your book. I've seen people with necklaces and, you know, of course I'm curious and, oh wow, why do you have that symbol on your neck? And they say, well, it attracts energy or it's projecting energy, kind of what you're saying. So intent with symbols has, it has an actual effect. It has an actual energetic effect in our space in this little realm.
Purpose. So, and then also the different permutations and combinations of shapes will do different things. And this is where sacred geometry got more and more complicated. So if you go into a cathedral or something, there's sacred geometry everywhere. And the layout of the cathedral, what you do in the cathedral, what you wear in the cathedral, and even what you say, because the other interesting thing is that sound activates it, which is why chanting and hymns and all...
Activates
the geometry, and this has been known about for thousands of years, particularly in the Vedic traditions and also the Hebrew ones. Because whenever you make a sound, there's an area of physics called cymatics, C-Y-M-A-T-I-C-S, cymatics, which studies the geometric waves that come out as a result of a source of sound, and they come out from the point of a source of sound as a sphere, as a sonic sphere. So within all of sound are geometric patterns. And in the ancient times, you'd have your geometric shape, like a yantra, and then you would have a mantra, which you would say to activate it. So this is where om and all of those things come into place. So by making sound, you're activating it, because the sound sends out all these geometric waves, which is why sound is very significant in terms of the effect it has on us to lift our moods or whatever.
Karen, I'm having a little difficulty hearing. You know, I don't know, maybe pull away from the microphone a little bit and speak a little. I'm not sure. But let me stop. That sounds a little better. Let me stop you right here and let me kind of retrace here. What you're saying, you know, on things like this, I often try to go back to the Bible. That's an ancient text. There's a lot of other ancient texts with similar stories, what have you. You know, in the Bible, in the beginning, whatever, God said, let there be light. What you're telling me is creation, light, that God said, let there be light. Consciousness or God said, let there be light, and that activated kind of the framework and gave the power and kind of turned on this construction that was here. I mean, that's kind of what you're saying, isn't it?
Well, yeah. If you're going to the Bible, it was, in the beginning was the Word.
Right.
And then God created, and then it was light, because then the light divided with the dark. So there you have yin and yang, and you have different shades of gray, because nothing is ever pure light and dark. There's always shades of gray.
Yes. So it's a world of duality. So we went from a world of singularity to a world of duality. So here in this construction, there's a world of duality. There's light, there's dark, there's male, there's female, there's yin, there's yang, there's good, there's bad, there's, you know, whatever. Okay, go ahead.
And with duality, immediately duality doubles to create four. The dual.
To create what? What'd you say?
To create four squares.
Yes.
And then squares double. So you have doubling, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32. So you have space, construct space. The duals also join together to create the third, which is the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Daughter, and the Father, Mother, and the Daughter, and the Father, Mother, and the Son. So you have two triangles. So you have three. That then starts to go 3, 6, 9, 3, 6, 9. It never gets beyond 9 because 9 is the horizon number. So there's a trinity of numbers there. So the 3-times table and the 6-times table and the 9-times table all work together to create the trinity. So whereas 2 and 4 is expansive, 3 has 3, 6, and 9. And then you have, so this is how the numbers construct. They construct in this way. And then each of the geometric shapes does something unique.
So wow.
I've
had a couple of people tell me that at the cellular level, scientists, I don't know if you're, you know, this is pretty, I don't know how secret this is or not secret, I don't know, but I've had a couple of people who are, you know, that know people and know a lot of things. They've told me that when scientists have done experiments with cells and they're trying to break down cells to their lowest common denominator, to the end, mm-hmm. trying to take everything apart from it to see, you know, what made this. When they mm-hmm. get down to the very bottom, mm-hmm. of this, when they take apart the cells, all that's left are geometric shapes. Have you heard yes. anything about that?
Yes. And then you can go beyond that to a quantum level. And this is where you have string theory. So we literally crystallize into existence. And string theory has a competitor, which is the E8 model. That's capital E and the number 8.
Okay, how would you, Karen, hold on, before you get in there, we got about 11 minutes, so we can go anywhere you want to. I'm just telling you, try to pace yourself. These are big okay. topics. How would you define string theory? Define string theory. What is that? I mean, you know,
string theory, as you said, you know, how far down you go into laws of probability, but things still have to position them in space. Now, string theory is an abstract mathematical model. It's a theory. The word theory is significant. Trying to explain how things manifest out of nothing, the probability of it. And to my mind, string theory has never really made sense because it's not provable. Whereas the competing model, E8, still has some issues, but it is provable. And it's based on geometry, a model which has 248 multi-dimensional, abstract mathematical model, beautiful one, and it's all within a circle, all these lines and things like that, and they realize that they can position particles on this thing, and it proves the existence of different particles, and it's geometric. My mathematics isn't quite good enough to get into that and all the proving of it, but I do understand it. And when I saw it, I was like, this to me makes more sense because it's based on geometry, where string theory isn't. If anybody is very into that type of thing, I highly recommend they have a look at the E8 model.
Is there because some people even, I've seen duodecahedrons that people put in their house just for good energy. I mean, are there symbols, geometric shapes that we should put in our house that give us better good energy?
Well, this is, everything is good if your intent is good. And really, everything does something different. So it depends on where you're at in your life and what you're working on. Because at the end of the journey, the purpose of life is to go on a journey to learn more about yourself, to go into yourself. And this is the key thing that I always say to people. The only part of the universe you can do anything about is yourself. You can't make anybody else do anything. You can't do anything. The only part is yourself and how you make your choices. And that's the journey, that going within yourself to understand the basis of choices. And the emotional aspect of it is your how you learn. Because if you're feeling bad or down or whatever, then you know you're learning something. So if you're feeling trapped in your home, then squares are something that you're dealing with at the moment. Squares contain energy. They fit things in a particular location, like shoe boxes. We put our shoes in a box and it'll stay there. And I get people to look at shapes from a fundamental level. How does a circle make you feel? How does a square make you feel? Do you like it or don't you like it? And it's really, whenever you look at a particular shape, if you're drawn to bring it into your life, drawn to bring it into life for a reason, because it's something you're working on at that time. And then at some point, it'll have done its job, or you will have worked, finished completing it, and something else will be relevant. Because very often people get very attached to a particular symbol, and they love it so much, and it means so much to them in a particular time, that they don't move beyond it. And the whole point is to learn and progress and keep your mind open and change yourself, and things will change and different things will be relevant to come into your life. So with regard to that, nothing is bad or nothing is good. It's what's relevant to you in any particular moment.
Okay, let me ask you this question, because we talk about Well, I talk about, especially the news media, whatever, CNN, you know, I don't know what you have over there, but the media is always presenting different pictures of the world. The idea that they're reporting news and it's unbiased news is just ridiculous. Nothing is unbiased. They're reporting something and everything has an angle. What I've tried to tell the audience, and I think this fits with what you're saying, I want to get your comment. The people who are sending out news to you or sending a movie to you or a lot of them, they have an agenda and they're trying to capture your imagination and portray a picture of the world into your imagination so that then your imagination can then magnify it back out and so can create that in the world even more so. So when I say they want to capture your imagination, they literally need your imagination almost like an antenna to then broadcast these images and these perceptions of the world that they have for us and that they want for us. Would that be accurate? That make any sense at all?
Well, absolutely, definitely, because they're, and a lot of it is fear-based as well, because 90% of everything out there is good. You know, it's not everything's bad, but yes, they are. It's part of that, and it's very interesting because you mentioned earlier on, what you look at and what draws your attention and what you focus on then becomes part of your reality. So if you're focusing on hate and war and everything, then you need to resolve that. Something's resonating within you that needs to be resolved within you. The hate within you needs to be resolved. It's called the mirroring effect, and this is a whole other different area to do with manifestation and mirroring and identifying what it is that you're working on within yourself. And yes, they are. They're relying on attracting you. So you then become part of their common consciousness, and then that makes it bigger. And this is exactly what happened in Nazi Germany. He was using deliberate symbols, and at the time, there were huge financial difficulties, etc. So once you become part of a bigger group consciousness and identify with it, then that starts to dip. That starts to affect your identification of who you are, because at the end of it, there's only I am, the pure I am. But you could say, I am British, I am female, I am this, I am whatever. And because I am British, therefore, I behave in this way. British people do this. Okay, so then that becomes part of my ego identity. So wherever your attention is drawn, and if you start to make it part of your identity, or it affects you in a negative emotion, then you need to start to look at it because it's part of your journey and you're learning about yourself and what it is that you try have to resolve within you. But that's a whole other subject in its own right.
You know, we've seen a lot of clashes, culture, you know, you can just start with culture. You know, certainly in Europe, different culture of immigrants coming in, and no matter what you think about them, there's clashes of culture. There's differences of ideas, of cultures in America, definitely political ideas in the UK, the Brexit, no Brexit. There's all these ideological clashes, and it's my idea that somebody, some force, it's obviously that's fairly organized. It's using many of the power centers, media, what have you. There's a war on for self-identification. You said self-identity, who you are. And they, or who, whatever is behind this, seems to be wanting to betray you and to put you in that shoebox, a different shoebox within the greater whole. And in that shoebox, they want to identify you as somebody that's easily manipulated, that can be controlled, that they can use. Mm-hmm. That's what it seems to me, that all this is a war of self-identity. Who are we? We have the power. And, I mean, what you're telling me, most of what you told me today probably went right over my head, probably over our audience's head. But some of these things, these concepts I'm latching onto is the idea that the perception is in ourselves. The power is within ourselves. The
Absolutely.
Self-identity.
That's the only thing you can do anything about.
Yes, yes. We got about 2 minutes.
It's all down to your own choices and decisions in life. What you spend your money on, there's power in its own right. So if you really are an ecologically minded person, that is the ultimate power, what you spend your money on, which product you buy. You know, not necessarily campaigning, but if you choose to choose product X versus product Y, that's your vote. What you say to people, how you say things to people, that's your choice. It comes from your thought into your words and your deeds. And that's whether it comes from light and good or the dark. And that's ultimately what all spiritual beings are talking about, is finding your way back into yourself, recognizing who you are, and that affects ultimately the powers within you and your choices, and whether they come from your heart or your mind or on the basis of them.
I love that. We have literally a minute or so left, and I just wanted to promote your book again. This book is fantastic. I don't have the other one, The Hidden Geometry of Life. I would like that book. If you want to send it to me, I would love to get a copy of it. But this book is beautiful. It's engaging. It's thought provoking. It's, if any of what we talked about today is interesting, you will love this book. Gateway to the Heavens, KarenLFrench.com. Don't forget the L. Do not forget that L. KarenLFrench.com. Or she told me before the show, she says, yeah, it goes to some photographer or something. I'm like, a porn site? What are you talking about? It goes to Karen French. She says, no, a wedding photographer. Oh, okay. All right. So if you put Karen French, you're going to, you know, take pictures of a wedding. If you want a wedding photographed, go to Karen French. If you want to learn about sacred geometry, go to KarenLFrench.com. So, very nice to meet you. I hope I can contact
you
again.
Thank you very much.
I really enjoyed meeting you and talking to you. Thank you so much for coming on, and I hope you come back again in the future.
More than happy to.
Absolutely. God bless. Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Wow. Very interesting interview. I'm going to go back and listen to some of those things and try to put that together. But creation, whatever you want, word you want to define, God, creator, whatever, has put inside you perception, power, imagination, consciousness, and there's power in it. And don't let the world or other people dictate it to you, because your future, your space, your mind, your everything is yours. And it's nobody else's. Imagine the uniqueness. I want you happy, healthy, successful, and free, just as God made you. Great interview. Daniel Estlin the rest of the week. And we'll see you tomorrow. And I'll be on the phones. Give me a call.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Dr. Joe Schneller.
The efficacy that we're looking for, that we're going to prove, is that Carnivora wakes up this immune system and makes it dominate.
I highly recommend that you get started right away using Carnivora, because it really will help you. Just follow the directions as the company gives them to you. And I just want everybody to know that there's been no one paid to do this. I'm doing this on my own because I care about everybody and want to see healthy people.
My husband has recovered tremendously after the physician suggested that he start taking Carnivora. When he was doing so well, I decided to start taking it as well, and we're both so pleased to be able to feel healthy again.
Hello, folks. Richard Ostro of Carnivora Research International here. Visit CARNIVORA.com or call 1-866-VENUS-FLY. That's Carnivora.com or 1-866-VENUS-FLY. Call us today.